Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Finovate podcast. Joining me today, we have Alan Becker, CEO and co-founder of eSelf, a company that won Best of Show at Finovate Fall 2023. Alan, thanks so much for taking the time to connect with me today.
Hey, how are you, Greg? Nice. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Excellent. Well, for people who haven't had a chance to take a look at your demo video, can you start by giving us just a quick 60-second overview of yourself and what eSelf is all about?
Sure. That would be my pleasure. So, in my background, I have a PhD in the field of machine learning. I was a researcher back then in the early days of the deep learning revolution. Published 10 papers in the field of speech, NLP, computer vision. I was quite of a generalist, I would say. And right after my PhD, we co-founded a company named Voca. At Voca, we were the first company in the world doing voice-to-voice conversations. So imagine having a conversation between a human and a voice agent in call centers. Not chat, but only voice conversations. We started the company in 2018, and we kind of led the voice-to-voice conversation market. We built an amazing technology. We built the whole AI pipeline in-house. We had huge customers like American Express, AT&T. And at the end of 2020, we sold the company to Snapchat. I would say Snapchat were mainly interested in the technology that we built. They wanted to integrate our virtual agents within their platform. So we stayed at Snap for a couple of years, working on conversational AI efforts from voice conversations, LLMs, large language models, and so on. It was super fun to be there. You know, huge scale, big company. But eventually, I'm an entrepreneur by heart, so I didn't have any chance to not leave and build a new company. So this is what I did. So together, me with my new co-founder, Elon Shoshan, we built eSelf. And the vision of eSelf was to build from the first day a face-to-face conversational engine, an engine that can behave the same way we are conversing right now. We are doing a face-to-face conversation. And I knew right away when I sold my previous company that that's the next thing that I will do.
Certainly, the demo itself is something which I would encourage anybody to go and watch, because you can talk about what this face-to-face interaction looks like, but really seeing it is kind of believing it. And I think there's a reason that your technology was able to capture the interest of so much of our audience. But I'm curious, you know, you're kind of talking about some of the high-level priorities that were on your mind as you started the next iteration of the company. So, please do continue to expand and talk about kind of what were some of those big-picture priorities as you really started thinking about what eSelf could look like.
Yes. So, my vision and my passion in life was always been to create this perfect machine that can behave as human as possible. That's a personal passion that they have. Because usually I explain to myself that if we build a machine that is as human as possible, we somehow can understand humans. And my passion is always about understanding humans. So if we can build that machine that people feel very comfortable and superhuman-like to converse with, it means that we accomplished something in the human understanding. So that was my passion, the way I explained to myself. So when we started to build this amazing technology, which I believe we certainly lead the market of face-to-face conversations as of today in the world. The main, obviously, building the technology was one of the hardest things to do. But the second one was to find the right use cases that we can solve, the real pains that we can solve for our customers. So they will be keen to pay for the product. And because the worst thing that you can hear from a customer is, yes, this is so cool. When they say this is so cool, that's a bad bad reaction, because it means that they find it very cool. It's geeky. It's nice. But you're not solving a problem for them. So if you're not solving a real problem for them, they won't pay you real money for that. And if you want, they won't pay you real money. So you have might have a great startup, but it won't exist for a long time. So our main focus in the since we started to build the technology was to find the right use cases that the face conversation is crucial and needed to solve real problems for our customers.
Yeah. And what are you kind of finding out as you look at that? Where is that sort of sweet spot between, you know, going from this is cool technology, and it is undeniably cool technology. I mean, if you look at it on the stage, you think, wow, this is very impressive, but kind of turning it towards what you're talking about now, which is pointing out a real problem, becomes, this is a challenge, not just for yourself, but for any company in the fintech ecosystem, right? You have to try and get past that crucial inflection point to now I'm actually creating value for you in a way that you are willing to then come in and pay me for it. So what are you finding that is, you know, what are sort of the most lucrative areas or the biggest problems that you're able to solve?
That's a very good question. And I will try to walk very slowly here to share things that we can share and don't share things
that we
don't want to share yet. And the right answer is that we are leading the from a technological point of view, this market. We do have competitors in terms of technology. And in terms of technology, we are for sure the leading the space. But what other companies didn't solve yet, didn't solve what's the right use case. So having me telling here what exactly the use cases that we found will be not very smart from my end. So I can say what use cases we found that they're not interesting for the face-to-face. What type of use cases? You can have a chat conversation or a voice conversation, but you don't need a face-to-face conversation. I can tell you what use cases that are not the right ones because I will sharing only a little bit of information to my competition. So I'll give you an example. So we have a conversation right now, and we are doing it through Zoom meeting. We're doing it face-to-face. Why we are doing it through face-to-face? Why we're not having a chat conversation? I think the answer is quite straightforward. Because first of all, chat takes longer. You need to write. And to write takes longer. In a chat conversation, you don't have the full attention of the other party. They might be traveling simultaneously. They might be playing with their kids or just doing something in simultaneously. So you know when you are chatting with someone that you're having a non-synchronous conversation, which means their engagement is much lower. And why we end up not doing this conversation through voice conversation? I mean, when you do voice, I mean, I can tell from my phone if you're in a noisy environment or not. I can roughly say that if you're in attention or not based on your voice, but I don't have the visual signal. I'm losing the visual signal when we are doing voice to voice. So we do face-to-face conversations when we want to engage deeper, to have a stronger connection. So the answer to your question, which use cases we found that they're the most compelling ones for the face-to-face. As I told you, I will tell you which use cases are not the right ones. I will say something that might sound maybe counterintuitive, but customer service is the wrong use case. Face-to-face conversations for customer service is not the right one. I can explain why. In customer service, you have someone on the other side of the conversation that they need something. We're talking here about a well-defined transactional conversation in which there's some party that wants something from the other. They either want you to solve a problem They want you to provide information, but it's very straight to the point. Someone needs something that he knows exactly what he wants. And he wants it to solve it right away. He doesn't have the capacity or the willing to share his video, for sure. I'm not sure he even has the willing to have a voice conversation. If the chatbot will be able to solve the problem efficiently, quickly, and can understand the user well, from his perspective, he doesn't need anything else. So the main challenge that we had so far was to find the right use cases in which the customer or the business that we are, the end customer or the business that we are selling to, they must have the face-to-face conversation. And yeah. Why they must have the face-to-face conversation? There are many different use cases in which why they must have the face-to-face conversation. I can't, unfortunately, share more details than that. But this is the area. You should look for the use cases in which your technology is a must. And then you will know that you're solving a real problem.
Yeah, no, I like the way of thinking about it. And you're right, that is a little bit counterintuitive, right? Because I think you would expect someone in your position to come in and say, actually, no, the chatbot is not the right tool for any situation. It should be ours every time. But to hear you say, you know, there are areas in which the existing solutions are fine, and in some cases, even better. I think that, you know, kind of spurring that thinking on the part of the folks on the other side of the coin, where do I actually really need this, I think is a really good mental exercise. And it's something which, again, transcends this specific area, right? This is what everybody should be asking themselves and about all the fintech that they see up on our stage. What problem is it actually solving? Where do I really need to deploy it? I want to zoom out a little bit and talk about AI more broadly for a moment, because obviously there's a lot of noise going on in this space right now. And I think it's really difficult for the part of folks who are at financial institutions to kind of make sense of it all. If you're not a PhD level technologist and you get all these messages saying, you know, our AI solution is worth your time and consideration, how do you make sense of all of those pieces? How do you kind of sort through and you say, okay, broadly speaking, I know I need to do something, but which of these options do I actually want to go and pursue? What advice do you have for folks who are in that position who are trying to decide how they can make an intelligent step forward?
That's a great question. So I'll give you an answer from something that we learned in my previous company. So when we established the Voca, we were, I think, the first company in the world doing voice-to-voice conversations. And, you know, the early investors always ask, so why do you need voice-to-voice conversation? I mean, people do chat. So it was kind of the same question as we just asked. I mean, why do mm-hmm. we need face-to-face? You can do voice or chat.
Sure, yeah.
And you know what was the answer? The answer was that the companies, the banks, they provide you chatbots. But your customers, they'll keep calling you. So the answer was quite straightforward. The answer was, you give them chats. My investor told me that people need only chat. And we use chat. We don't care about voice. But my parents, they want to have a phone conversation. So even though they can have the same information and transactional interaction through chat, they prefer to speak. So that's the reason why that's the reason why Voca was a successful company, because even though you can have the same information through chat, they're doing the voice conversation. But as of today, as you're saying it, there are infinite amount of companies providing AI solutions to banks, community banks, credit unions, and any financial company in the world, right? I mean, probably there any day we have more and more companies. That's completely impossible to follow after the competition. So if you're a bank right now and you have like tons of inbound trying to sell your AI product, so you will find it really hard to understand who is providing you value, who can solve a problem better than the others. And I believe in such a unique situation as we have right now, there's a bubble of companies. The most efficient way for big companies to sort out which solution they should implement is to have be introduced to the vendor by a reference customer, by a customer that already the vendor already solved them a real problem for them, and they're willing to pay for it. That's the only way for a big company today to filter out the right companies that can provide value.
Yeah, certainly from the sort of implied other side of it then is for companies who are in the innovative space, getting to that point where you're providing real value is absolutely crucial if you want to make the leap into actually getting customer attention and customer traction. Being able to demonstrate that very early on is absolutely vital. We are running out of time here, but as we close, I just want to ask, what's next for eSelf? Where do you go from here? I mean, obviously, I know you're hard at work. There's a lot of pieces still to come, but what's on the horizon?
Yeah, great question. So we started eSelf with the vision of being the leading company of the world in face-to-face conversation. As I told you earlier, our passion comes from the product and from the human understanding point of view. So we built this great engine that allows us to have face-to-face conversations in which not only the user can see the agent, and the agent can also share, can see the user. Which is crucial for the use cases that we are solving. And as of our product roadmap, so we are on the very fast track of improving the product. We're adding capabilities of integrations with CRM for our customers, easy to extract data and to update data, because we are trying to replace current workflows with automation of AI. And next coming months, we are releasing our multilingual engine, which will allow our customers and the end users to interact with our virtual agent, not only in English, but in the most common 20 common languages in the world, which will allow us to scale up to many regions and to allow a more engaging and intuitive interactions between the users and our virtual agents.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. 20 languages. I can't even imagine how much work that must have gone into. I'm afraid we have to end it here, but obviously a lot still to come from the eSelf team. And again, check out their video from Finovate Fall. You can find it at finovate.com/videos. Just type eSelf into the search bar there and you'll see Alan up on stage and also get to see what the face-to-face interaction looked like. It, as I said, it was very impressive. Alan, thanks so much for taking the time to connect with me here today. Look forward to seeing how eSelf continues to grow, and we'll be watching closely, as you can expect.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your time today.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.